And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello. I am still going over for the second, third time my copy of the magazine, and one of the articles in there is Bitcoin, the Libertarian Introduction. What is it? How is it used? And why should you care? By Eric Voorhees. Now, we had Eric on before, and he fulfilled his commitment to write us a nice long article for the e-zine, which came out this last Friday. Go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenixezine.com, and subscribe. Last night at Barnes & Noble, there was a book signing party where Charles Goyette was introducing his new book, Red and Blue and Broke All Over. And we had him on Monday, a long conversation. We had gotta fix the video thing here. And what he did is he gave a presentation last night. And one of the gentlemen, there's an economic discussion group that I go to on a regular basis. And tonight, one of the gentlemen that'll be there was asking about this particular article, and I wanted to know if I knew more about it than I did. And I said, you know, we're having Eric on again tomorrow. You should listen in because I've generated a lot more questions. And he answers so many in here. And we put it up. Drew Phillips, just kind of like, there's no such thing as embargo on an article, I guess. So what he did is he goes, you know, we got to get this up. And he wanted it. He was impressed with it enough that he went ahead and put it up on Freedom's Phoenix. And it was an article that can explain everything to everybody. The problem is that, you know, if it has to be so complicated, can it compete with the Federal Reserve notes? But then you start looking at, you know, what makes a Federal Reserve note work. And you got to have, and Charles went into this, you know, a lot of people were concerned about what was going to happen with the crack-up boom, how we're going to have the depreciation of the dollar to the point that it starts to become a run on it. People start going, hey, man, I got paper and I'll buy that crack coffee cup because I got something tangible and it's worth more than the paper. And it's so, I mean, literally becomes toilet paper as opposed to, I don't know, what they do when this happened before. They wallpapered their bathrooms with the currency. You ever heard that? You know, I've seen pictures of this. You know, people, it's like, yeah, you know, kind of make a point, some kind of protest thing that we would do. You know, yeah, we'll wallpaper the bathroom. So this is, in comparison, you know, they'll go, well, that's that currency is this or that. It has problems here and there. And I go, compared to what? So that's what we're going to talk to Eric about a little bit more. Let me go ahead and get Eric up. Eric, I got you there.
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Eric, has anyone else, have you shared this article with people? They commented on it?
Yeah, I've shared it within the Bitcoin community and within people up here in New Hampshire for the Free State Project.
And
so in my circle, yeah.
Any criticism? I mean, before I go take this as gospel, you know, I mean, because you did a good job. I mean, you know, I'm like, give me what fur on the Bitcoin. And, you know, I think you kind of, you know, for a novice going in, going, thank you. So have they had any feedback to you?
Overwhelmingly, they were really happy with it. There were the most criticism was a couple little typos that have since been fixed in the versions I have. But other than that, yeah, they were all quite thrilled.
Okay, so now I'm. What's the next phase for you in Bitcoin? I mean, it was obvious that you know you're enraptured with the concept. You know, what are you going to do with it?
Well, I work full time for a company called BitInstant. So, you know, I have a job like everyone else and get up in the morning and we work on building that business. So, I get, you know, in my free time, I can talk theory and money with people, but most of the time I'm just kind of working on
it. Okay, now let's go ahead and talk about that because last week had Alma Summer from AgoraMarketplace.com. She's like, man, let's get my widget up here. Let's do it. Let's start taking Bitcoin. So I need to know, can you set me up or do subscriptions with some Bitcoins?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely need to do that after the show, get you guys ready to accept them for the magazine.
Okay, now tell me about the process for that. You know, that there is, okay, we're going to set up a business. Tell me about how you set up the business, why you would want to, what's the plan in the future, why you see it being successful, and what the demand is. Because I'll tell you what the demand is from my end. I remember when E-Gold first started. We first started doing radio in 2003, and very soon after that, I remember Wired Magazine had an article about E-Gold and the history of the company and where they moved and why. And it started. And the second they started being successful, as I saw a parallel with Bitcoin. The second that they started to be accepted and successful, here come the man. You know, and they did everything they could to stop that from happening. And I'm going, okay, so what kind of opportunities do you have for us to participate? Describe your service. And then is there any susceptibility to the interest of the man?
Well, okay, well, there's two main services I'm involved in. One is a company called Payfius, which allows any website to accept Bitcoins for payment. So people would pay with Bitcoins on the website instead of a credit card or PayPal. So that's one. But then the main company I'm involved with is BitInstant. And we do a little bit more traditional stuff, which is we help move people, we help move U.S. dollar balances between Bitcoin exchanges. And we allow people to buy Bitcoins with cash at the major banks, which is pretty fun. So you can walk into a bank with cash and deposit cash in an account number that we provide you. And then within half an hour, you'll be receiving Bitcoins. So this is all kind of being done without the banks even realizing what's going on.
Okay, now at some point, it's going to be like, you want to process money? Okay, sure, pay the what? It's all good. And we'll just put all this money given to WikiLeaks in a bank account right up until they don't. So I'm wondering, you know, at some point, there's going to be some bank somewhere saying, giving you some kind of no. So, I mean, you know, where's the susceptibility there?
Well, the banks could always say no, but we're not reliant on them. That's just one little part of the business. And if our company were shut down, which is possible, someone else can just do the same thing, or we could move out of the country and do it. Because we're working in a new world of finance, we're not really bound to any geography or specific institution.
Explain that to me, because I mean, I need to understand this. Let's walk it through. I mean, from a, you know, a lot of times you don't even take into account the, you know, the businessman's perspective on this. I'm going, all right, you know, I'm willing to take $50 Federal Reserve notes to get subscription to the magazine for a year. It's $100 a year if you want to get a 1 ounce Freedom's Phoenix medallion, then silver. And I go, okay, so like last night, you know, some of the guys say, hey, sure, Rob, you can get the magazine, $50, fork it over. Okay? Or you can give me 1 ounce of silver. Or you can give me 2 ounces of silver and I'll give you 1 ounce of Freedom's Phoenix round back. Or, you know, you can, or do Bitcoins. So when we come back, let's go ahead and talk about that. I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to give you the option as an educational thing and a promotion of the concept. I'm going to allow you to pay me an X amount of Bitcoins. So at what's the current rate right now, let's say it'd be 11 Bitcoins. 11 Bitcoins, you get a year subscription to the magazine. Now what? We'll talk about it when we come back with Eric Voorhees here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No row ads, no row ads. You know, this is what's important about understanding about Bitcoin and where I see its value coming is my generation grew up with the concept of a Swiss bank account. I mean, when they talk about, oh, yeah, he had some money he had to hide in secret somewhere, and you can kind of go and get, and the man can't find it, and I got a Swiss bank account. And then we started seeing over the last few years that myth went away. Now, when you got the U.S. of A. going, we have, M1 Abrams, and guess what? That information belongs to us. And they said, yes, boss, we got it right here. So they turned it over, and they, you know, we just on the global plantation now. So I, and that was one thing that this issue was about, and in the magazine, and we kind of overlapped on a lot of things. It was environmentalism from a libertarian perspective, and Indian Native American sovereignty, and how they kind of overlap. And we had some other off-topic issues in there, one of which was Bitcoin. But it tells you, you know, one of the articles by Bill Buport was, and Will Grigg and Butler Schaefer, and, you know, they kind of incorporated a lot in the Native American concept that, you know, hey, man, they trusted the white man, and he spoke with forked tongue and didn't respect property rights, and whatever deal was made and treaty agreed to is doesn't matter anyway. So this has been going on forever. I mean, you always got to trust somebody. And they'll got, you know, the great chief back in Washington, D.C. says, oh, okay, well, is he going to sign the treaty? Well, he has a functionary kind of doing, and then he changes every few years, and it's kind of, you know, who do you trust? Well, the thing was is that, you know, when you went to the banks and you had the reputation of keeping your information secret, they go, yeah, but there were some Nazis that, you know, kept their money there. There were bad guys. They're drug dealers. You know, there's terrorists. There's this, there's that. There's so we're going to take away everybody's freedom for these guys that oppose our collective government man with a gun. Because oftentimes, you know, it always wants you to be fearful as an individual, but your individual rights aren't being threatened by these guys. You know, it's always like, you know, well, the terrorists will come across the border if we don't build the fence. As if that would stop them. But, I mean, you know, if it would stop you, I mean, if somebody PO'd me enough and I got to go, I'm like, man, you better get really creative. Stop Ernie. I mean, seriously. Seriously? Now you better get really creative because I can get creative. And, of course, people do get creative. So when they come across, you know, who are they going to attack? They're coming to me. They're going to come get me. You know, they're going after, you know, whoever made the treaty and promised and broke it and pissed them off. That's what they're doing. You know, it's never, it's always the fear. They're going to protect us. They need to go through our bank accounts. They need to, because there's somebody bad out there. And it gets to the point where it becomes so obvious to everyone that the people that are bad is the government. Under the promise that they're going to protect you. Every dystopian novel, science fiction movie, it always comes down to how Big Bubba's, you know, wanting to save me from myself. And then they become the biggest enemy to whatever I want to do. So now we've had the myth of the Swiss bank account kind of blown up. You know, you have pressure put on by the U.S. government. They turn over all their records. They go get them for tax this, or you didn't tell us about this money you had there. What Bitcoin, does it work the same way? Well, you know, I don't know. Well, that's why we have Eric Voorhees on. Now, we're going to go ahead and walk it through. You know, the first person that I know that can actually has a business that can help us participate in this and understand, you know, some of the problems. So let's go ahead and go to Eric. Eric, I'm a business. I say, okay, I'm ready to play. Let's play. You know, I got, right now I got a webmaster and you got code and load and kind of put up and subscribe. And I go to my subscribe page right now and it says, you know, subscribe to the eZine. Okay, I go, I wish to subscribe. I push the button, and I have various options by which I can pay. All right? Yeah. I go ahead and give, I got right here, and it goes through a PayPal. Now, I would do a subscription form that could take me to, just click on a bubble and says, okay, I'm going to pay in Bitcoin. Now, as a salesman for this process, I mean, we'll do it right freaking not later. We're going to do it right now. Right now, right now, right now. How easy is it going to be? Let's find out. The audience is on the edge of their seat waiting right now. Okay. I say, Eric, okay. Sign me up, man. Let's do it. I've got my fingers over my keyboard. Now what?
Okay. So if you signed up with our company, you would use paysius.com, P-A-Y-S-I-U-S.com. You will sign up there for free. And then based on the type of shopping cart that you use on your website, you would download the plugin for that shopping cart. And then your webmaster would install it.
Okay, let's go into it. It starts off, it says Pace Inc. Is that you? Did I get to the right place?
No, P-A-Y-S as in Sam, I-U-S.
Okay. P-A-Y-S. Okay, go ahead and say it again. P-A-Y.
Yep, S as in Sam, I-U-S dot com.
Dot com. Boom shakalaka.
Now, yeah. Now, you can sign up there real quick, but it's not going to be, we can't really do it on air for integrating into your website because that would take a little more time. I can tell you exactly what would happen.
Okay, well, no, let's say, let me start the process. It's going to do first something. I got to do something. I got to do sign up, right?
You can sign up, yeah.
Sign up. I push sign up. I can push that button. Okay, then I go through the process here. Username, email address, forwarding address. Now, the first thing, I go withdraw currency. So I got United States dollars or bitcoins, all right? So yeah. I'm going to go ahead, and once I do this right here, user account, I am creating an account with Paysius, or am I starting a Bitcoin account? Is there a Bitcoin account to start? How does this work?
You're creating a Paysius account, not a Bitcoin account.
Okay. The difference is what? Now, let's go ahead and we'll go step at a time, because a lot of people don't understand this like you do. Like, let me see, me, okay? So let's go ahead and I say, I want to start a Bitcoin coin account. I don't really need to. I got a Bitcoin
that's,
or I don't, right?
Super easy. I can show you how to do that real quick.
All right,
let's
go.
That's even faster. Okay, go to instawallet.com, I-N-S-T-A, wallet.com.
Okay. Connecting.
It's .org, my bad.
All right, .org. InstaWallet.org. Okay, then what?
Okay. Now, did it show up?
It's connecting. InstaWallet.org. InstaWallet.org, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's still going.
It's not working for me either. Okay, let's do a different one. Let's do blockchain.info.
See, they're already after you. Blockchain.info. Now, that's one thing that my first question is if I can go to various different sites. Now, I got blockchain up. If I can go to various different sites to get Bitcoin, my first question is why? You know, there's not one central place. Not that it's a bad thing, but we need to understand.
That's the strength of it, yeah.
Okay, that's, you know, and when we come back with Eric Voorhees, he's going to help explain this to us. You know, how is it that I can open up or get different places? How does this work? Am I picking them up off the road?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I want to describe why Bitcoin, and he does a good job in the article. Eric Voorhees took the time to explain to us in language that we can understand, and I was really glad to have it, and he put a lot of work into it to have it in this last month's e-zine. FreedomsPhoenixEZine.com. Now, why is Bitcoin valuable? Well, why is any coin valuable? It has to be, you know, usable. It's useful. And it's scarce. And a lot of, and this is one thing Charles would always go on about real money and so on in his books, on his radio show and everything. He would make these observations the same as Eric did. It has to have a currency. It has to be scarce, you know, so it has some kind of value. You know, it has to be fungible, which means it can be, you know, half of ounce of gold is, you know, worth half of whatever an ounce is. I mean, you know, and half of that and half of that till you get down to we're negotiating right now. I just been in negotiations with a company yesterday on getting a half gram of gold coin done. And it's like stamping foil or something. Now, and these half gram little discs, you know, it's going to be probably $600 just for us to start getting to be able to stamp them out to get due to kind of put them in dime cards. You know, because, you know, Daily Paul wants to do peace, gold, liberty, love, you know, four card set, P-A-U-L, U-L, P, peace, A-U, gold, L, liberty, or love. So we're working on there. He sent me the design for the piece, and we wanted to do gold, of course, for the A-U card. Well, I mean, heck, even a half gram is $30 just in gold. So we're going, okay, so there's your fungibility aspect of it. You know, it can split down into small increments. Maybe uniform. You know, it has that, you know, it's a you know, 100%, you know, or 9999 gold is the same as this 999 gold over here. It's an element. So those Bitcoin meet that. You know, it's transportable. Has a high value to weight ratio. Well, heck, Bitcoin beat the crap out of everybody on that one. I mean, you know, it weighs electrons. So this is, you know, because if you're, I got to flee the country, I'm going, you might not be taking your silver. You better be having something like platinum or colored diamonds or gold or something, because, you know, can I put it in my pocket? All right. Well, that's we're going to talk about the transferability and how you can have your Bitcoins anywhere accessible by you anywhere in the universe. You know, that's cool. I'd like to, you know, hear more about that. And is it easily identifiable? You know, that's another thing in negotiation for the gold is, are we going to put a serial number? Are you going to take response? Because we have gram bars from Credit Suisse that they sent us as samples. We got from Roberts & Roberts. They'll send us a sample of it. It has a serial number stamped on it with a certification bubble pack that it was in originally. You know, is that, you know, do you trust that number? Or at least you got this bank and they got a number on it. You can check it, I guess, make you feel better, you know. So, you know, will you have the ability to do that? Then you have, you know, is it going to be stable and predictable? Is it going to be available? Is it going to be accessible? Well, that's one thing that we're finding out right now as we're trying to get to where we can use them and start taking them and transfer them. So money has a definite definition. It stores value. And it doesn't do you any good storing value if you can't spend it or take it or trade it or transfer it, and that you don't have a big high risk and somebody just saying, it's mine now. Thanks for playing. So there is storage. Unless you're walking around with all your money, if you're putting it in a bank or somebody's storing it, you're trusting a third party kind of, you know, hey, man, you know, that's my gold there, right there, right? Oh, yeah, got proof? Well, I got this piece of paper says it's mine. They go, yeah, you're confusing with someone that cares. Go get more guns. You know, I mean, you always got these kinds of risks, especially in the 30s. All of a sudden, they say, you can't hold the gold. Oh, you want to open up your safe deposit box at the bank? Guess what? A treasury agent had to be standing there. I mean, that's how bad it gets. All of a sudden, you start to see the value of something like Bitcoin. Now, when you have the hyperinflation crack up, boom, going, everybody kind of running for the exits, you know, who's going to be the guy that's going to go blip on his keyboard and goes to, you know, the country of fill in the blank and says, you know, my money be waiting on me. Well, what makes it money? Why would anybody give you value? And what would they trade for it? Or can you convert it to something that you can trade more readily in that country? These are all questions that are coming up. And it had enough sufficient answers and it had enough fear that all of a sudden you got Chucky Schumer, you know, from Washington, D.C., lawmaker up there going, hey, whoa. Well, we got our crosshairs on Bitcoin. Why would he even say anything? Why? You know, you got Paul Krugman, you know, Mr. Keynesian economist out there, Nobel Prize. You don't need to pay attention to Bitcoin. The second he says that, I'm paying attention. You know, it's like, don't think about boats. Okay, what do you think about? Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, Eric. So let's go ahead and, you know, walk me through this. I'm going to be doing a Bitcoin. Now, let's explain why I'm going to any one place for me to get me a Bitcoin. Now, I have a Bitcoin. I have the actual holographic coin here that has a one and one hundredth of an ounce or thousandth of an ounce that you put just to transfer to demonstrate last time we were on, that I went and checked this coin online, and it has more than one Bitcoin on it, so you can put more than just one on this coin. And then with the, I take the hologram off of here, and I go through some numbers, and boom, I kill this coin, but it makes it to where I can trade it online, and it, or I can dump it on this coin. And we'll get to the coin later. But the point
we'll do the traditional way now.
Okay, so the point is that there is a Bitcoin somewhere, more than a Bitcoin. You can even get a millionth of a Bitcoin. You know, and there's a maximum of 20-something million that can be created, and there's a schedule it goes, and they're not going to be at peak creation until 2032 or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the rate of inflation falls off over time at a preset amount, so there will never be more than 21 million of the coins, and there are currently about 8.5 million of them.
Okay, so now let's go ahead, and it's kind of a curve that, you know, it's they've created a bunch here early on in the first few years, and it kind of just tapers off. Now, so
it's sort of the inverse. It's the inverse curve of the U.S. inflation schedule. If you look at a graph of the U.S. money supply, it's exponentially increasing, whereas Bitcoin is produced on an exponentially decreasing.
It's the exact opposite of what they're doing with the Federal Reserve fiat currencies. I mean, I can see that, and they'll go, "Well, it's, you know, what's the value? It doesn't. At least I got a worthless piece of paper." And I'm going, you know, that's exactly what you got. And sooner or later, people are going to figure out that that doesn't mean nothing. You know, that's, you know, one less toilet paper roll access you need. Okay? I mean, you got some bills. Now, let's go ahead and start right now. I am at blockchain.info, and I'm going to go buy me, get me, create me some Bitcoins. You know, what are we doing?
None of the above. We're going to basically open you a bank account, a Bitcoin bank account.
Okay, now let's stop right there.
Yeah.
I don't have to open me a, I got an ounce of gold account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why am I opening an account? I mean, I didn't open an account to get this Bitcoin that I got. You know, do I want to do that? I want people to start transferring to my...
You actually do have an account with that coin that you have. The coin is its own account. And I'll show you what it means to open a Bitcoin account on this website.
All right, let's do it.
So compare this with opening a bank account, or imagine opening a Swiss bank account and flying to Switzerland and doing something similar. So you're at the web page now. You see the button that says Start a New Wallet?
Okay, I am at Recent Blocks, Search, Start a... No. I'm
right
at Blockchain.
Sorry, up at the top it says Wallet. There's a little link at the top that says Wallet.
Wallet.
Click on that first.
Okay, I click on Wallet.
Okay, now there's a button that says Start a New Wallet.
Start a New Wallet.
All right, click on that.
Got it. And it wants my password. We're going to go ahead and we'll walk this through, and we'll just go right through this. Hopefully it'll go fast in the next segment, because I want...
You're halfway
done. I'm sorry?
You're halfway done already.
All right. We're going to do it. I want to... And you got to answer the question. Do they know who I am doing this? We'll find out when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Eric Voorhees on Bitcoin. We're doing it right, not later. We'll be right back.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Free from your lies and untruth telling and such. You know, this is, we got to understand what's happening. Bitcoin and other alternative currencies are only possible because of the perceived devaluation and worthlessness of the U.S. dollar and any other fiat currency that comes around. And that perception is, you know, certainly just based on experience and knowledge. When I go to the gas pump, I went and filled up our Montero, which has like, it's like a 21, 22-gallon tank, and it's pretty empty. So I pull in. You know, usually Donna takes care of this, and, you know, it's not often that I'm going to fill up tanks. I just go in and it's got gas or not. All of a sudden, I got to go. $85 to fill up my tank. I went, wow, wow, wow. And I remember, and as impoverished as we are now, and fortunately, we don't commute because we do, you know, the studios here at the farm. I have, you know, I don't have to drive a whole bunch and everything. But I can't imagine that young couples, when Donna and I were young and had our four kids and struggling to survive and doing, you know, that would have been one of the big, giant, humongous nails in the coffin. I don't know how people are. I tell you what they're not doing. They're not paying their mortgages. That's what they're not doing. Now, this is, so here we go. Now, gold can, even gold and silver can be faked. We have now to where China, you know, they said, you know what? We're taking delivery. We want our gold. Fill up the barge. We're going to London, fork it over. And then all of a sudden, they're starting to find out, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, we learned a new science project that tungsten has the same density, almost identical, as gold. So what happens when you take a tungsten bar and you put it on a 16th-inch, you know, plate of gold and then pour around it and you kind of create a gold that's 16th by every test, it shows as pure gold until you drill it. Well, then all of a sudden, so you got fake gold bars out there. Yeah, so you want somebody to be making, nope, it's not fake. Why, you know. Are you expert? Well, some people can, silver, same thing. Is it real? I don't know. You know, I assume so. Well, we get it from people that we trust, or that's why a lot of people want to have something that's recognizable. It's not Fred's Casino ounce of silver. It's a Philharmonic, or it's a Walking Liberty, you know, or it's a Eagle, you know, or it's a Canadian Maple Leaf, or it's a, you know, why? So that they have a reasonable expectation that it's not fake. Well, then, you know, so Bitcoins, you know, how do we know if they're fake or not? If somebody else can do, you know, Bitcoins and spell it different? I don't know, we'll ask Eric about that. You know, and can you divide it? I mean, it's how do you get change? Well, fortunately, we get, you know, down 10th ounces, dimes, that kind of thing. That's why you have different denominations of silver coins. But the thing is that, you know, sometimes, you know, inflation goes and your little dime is worth $20. I mean, can I have a half a dime? You know, well, you know, Bitcoins, you can do that. Storage fees. All right. I got all my wealth. I might have a couple of dimes to put together. You know, well, guess what? I got to put it somewhere. I want to take it with me. And you know, at the very least, I got to buy a safe. Well, that costs money. Or I have somebody else's safe doing it. I'm trusting them. I'm storing it. What about theft? Now I'm going to put it underneath the old maple tree, you know, and they just come take it. Then what? You know, how does Bitcoin work with that? And the marketplace really determines, you know, what the medium of exchange is. It's kind of an Austrian thing, is that, you know, let the marketplace decide. Just get the government out of the way. It'll work it out. All right, so we're going to working it out right now. Eric's helping me out. All right, Eric.
We're about to make you your account.
I'm at the wallet, and I'm going to put in a password.
Yep.
Okay, and any suggestions on how this password has to be?
Well, the longer the password, the better. Anything over 12 characters is going to be pretty good. So you can, if you're not going to be putting your life savings in here, it's not going to be too big of a deal. But pick any password and then click on that continue button.
Okay, and the CAPTCHA is, man, I'm not even sure which one of these I'm supposed to. Some of these CAPTCHAs get funky, man. All right.
I know.
So we're creating now. It's not asking for a CAPTCHA failed. Slacker, I thought that squiggly might not be a. Okay, now when I do this, I am creating what kind of an account? How is it traced to me other than just my password?
They trace you based on your password and a unique identifier code, which you will get.
Okay, I got you. May restore this wallet at any time by visiting, and then it gives me, so it created you know, a big, giant, long, secured, encrypted, I got a lot of numbers and letters and dashes and so on as a web page.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bookmark that or save that address. That is basically your account number. Well, or that is your blockchain account number. And then you use your password to access it.
Okay, now this is, you know, you hear about people got their wallet stolen. Now, for them to get their wallet stolen, somebody had to get to their computer, find this address, and know their password.
People who get their wallet stolen are holding their wallet on their own computer, which is what you're not doing. You're using this service, blockchain, to hold your wallet in the sky. So even if someone gets to your computer, there's nothing they can do unless they know that information that you just discovered, which is the unique URL and the password you made.
Okay, so now I take that and I go to that web page and it has an identifier. I'm at blockchain. And then I put in my password and it's going to open up my wallet?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, this is, I'm still dependent. Now I'm dependent on blockchain, this website, not being taken over by Mr. IRS man, right?
Actually, you're not. The way that it works using cryptography is that you can download the unique keys inside that website and keep them safe. You could print them out and put them in your bank or your house's vault, whatever you want to do. And even if the website is taken over and goes down, they cannot access your money because the codes are never known to the server. They're only known to you.
So this blockchain is what? It's like an ISP to the internet?
I know the guy who created it. It's just, you know, this guy built it. Basically a bank, and you can hold your coins there, and it's all set up with...
Okay, so how would my... all right, now, we can't get over the passing. I want step by step, okay?
Yeah.
When I create this wallet, I have my money, I'm putting my Bitcoins in it. I can take that, and it's created out in the cloud somewhere, right? So I can take that information, put it on, create my own whatever. I tattooed it on under the shaved hair of my dog. All right. So I
that's
put
pretty
it
creative, yeah.
I, whatever, you know. So I do that. So I don't go shaving my dog. I'm not going to do it anyway. So you go in. I put this information somewhere. I tattoo it on, you know, between my toes or something. So I got this wallet now. What happens when blockchain gets taken down, taken over, nuked?
When it gets nuked, you can use that code to basically rebuild your wallet using a different system. That gets a little more technical, but you have to just trust that you can do that. So you take your code, you use some other softwares, and it will rebuild your wallet file, and your money will appear in that new wallet.
Okay, now, so Bitcoin has the... See, I'm wondering where it actually resides. What you're saying is this encryption is already out there, installed in the internet, in the cloud out there. It can't ever be destroyed? I can always access it?
It can't be destroyed because it lives in something called the blockchain, which is a distributed database that lives on every computer or node that runs Bitcoin. So several hundred thousand locations around the world at least have copies of this. So the only way for it to be destroyed would be to figure out where all those hundreds of thousands of locations are, destroy them all, and destroy all backups that had been created. Even if one single backup exists somewhere.
It repopulates the entire cloud.
It repopulates, yeah. So much more likely that you'll die in a car accident or that the Earth will be destroyed by a comet than that the blockchain will be destroyed.
Okay, now we just got, you know, people started on this. You know, it's the end of the show already. But, you know, I want to make sure that people know they go to blockchain.info and you just start creating your own wallet. And you can start putting...
Notice they don't know your name or address.
They didn't ask for it. That doesn't mean they don't know it.
But, well, you could have created that anywhere, so they don't know it.
So this is I just want, you know, people to know the value of this is the fact that when you need to purchase or buy something and you need to go somewhere and you don't have the ability to, you know, put in your rectum several tons of gold, You might be able to just send yourself an email, this information, and access your own BitWallet that people are starting to take for the very reasons that money is valuable and used in transactions. Bitcoin has all the traits so far. Go look at the articles.
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? You'll find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get your hands on silver dime trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovelution, and the cover art of George Orwell's book 1984. Download the free silver calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Don't Tread on Meme's clever apparel? Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of consent. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA, the beautiful studios of Freedoms and S, freedomsphoenix.com. There is a lot of things going on. We just had a conversation with Eric Voorhees on Bitcoin, and we did him last week. We have him back this week. He wrote a long article. We put it up on Freedom's Phoenix. And it was an exclusive article for Freedom's Phoenix e-zine. But there are those that said, no, you got to get this out on the whole thing. They need to know this. Yes, I agree. So we have it up on Freedom's Phoenix. Now, you can go to today's archive. You go to whatever today is, April 17th is today? 18th. April 18th today, if you're listening on the archive or iTunes. You go to the 18th and you go in there and you'll see underneath my big picture, there is a link to my Bitcoin. Well, click on it. Give me Bitcoins. Then if you don't have a Bitcoin wallet, well, you can go create one. Then you can go fund it. Just scan it with your smartphone. I got my QR code up there. Eric got me hooked up, over the break. So boom, done. There it is. Give me money. You're going to give me some Bitcoin right now just to show you can do it, and I won't have zero in my wallet on that one. Now, I got a little Bitcoin right here, my actual coin. I'm trying to understand this, how it works, and actually use it, put it as a subscription. Hey, it's electrons. You want to give me, Bitcoin's equivalent to, they're like $4.80 a piece or something right now. You want to give me 10 of those, 11 of those, get about 50 Federal Reserve notes. I'm like, cool, done. And I'll go use it and spend it, and it just starts to become a tradable currency, and all of a sudden I start getting me quite a few, and then I want to go somewhere, and I just, it's waiting on me there, and I trade it there. I convert it into euros or U.S. dollars to different places that do that, which is the one thing that they're doing, and you have different ways of converting into whatever currencies. So this is, I can see why this is a threat to the man. Well, let me tell you what the big threat to the man is being able to write the applications to do it. We have on Freedom's Phoenix right now, we have a Freedom's Phoenix app. If you go to the Android market and you just put in Freedom's Phoenix, boom. There you got an application that is for your smartphone, because you can go and check Freedom's Phoenix on your browser on your phone, but, it's memory. I mean, there's a lot of information being going back and forth. But if you have it set as an app to where it just, we still have the graphic, We have the headline. You can read more. You can even go to the webpage from there if you want. But this application is Freedom's Phoenix on your smartphone. Done. Boom, shakalaka, boom. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, it was December, January, we did a show, walletvoting.com. We were talking, here come the dime cards. Here we're going to be doing in silver. We need silver. Here we go. All of a sudden, there's a guy in Maryland. This is a show, and he goes, you know what? I can do that. Boom. Here we have silver calculator. Now it's on iPhone. It's on Android. And it's, I think at one time they had it on Palm. And then here we go. And upgrades. All of a sudden, it's exploiting. They want to put to euros. They want to use francs. We have, you know, Shire silver in there. We even have bitcoins in the silver calculator. This is already happening. Who writes these applications? Where do you what? You know, the Libertarian Freedom Movement, short of computer geeks, are they? No. Well, I want to introduce you to one of them. Zachary Arnold. Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y. Arnold, ARNOLD.com. Zachary Arnold.com. Let's say hello to Zachary. Hi, Zachary.
Hello and good morning.
I am, been hearing about you for, long time. Everybody's, this is the first time you and I have talked, but I mean, I know the guys are, they're big giant Zachary fans, okay? So let's go ahead and start reading your bio and so on. I mean, you've been around a while. You're probably late 30s, at least in your 40s, right?
I am 40.
So at 40 years of age and having some computer skills, you grew up just at the right time of, I remember when the most sophisticated coding was Pong. We're going through the video game here. We're going to the PCs. I mean, so you're just old enough as you come in and that. So that means that you're graduating high school in the late 80s. So the information and computer explosion of the late 80s and through the 90s, you were involved in that, and you have embraced computerdom, I would imagine. Am I right?
Absolutely. It's been an exciting ride for my software career.
Okay, so let's go ahead and do a little bit of your history. Now, we know that you've embraced libertarianism. You've gone through your stages of, I'm Republican because I was and I got over it. And then you get to being an anarchist and kind of I get it. But the thing is that let's go ahead and walk. Give us a, 5-minute bio on you. This is your realization, so we kind of got you graduating high school in the late 80s, right?
That's correct. I actually graduated in 1990, and at that time I was a Republican war hawk because, blowing things up is cool and it's fun to watch on TV, attacking foreign countries and, just that testosterone-driven view of the world. And as the 90s went on, I began to, just didn't jive. I felt uneasy with things, and by the time Harry Brown ran for president in 96, I, didn't believe any of the, world domination views anymore, and, discovered liberty. Was really inspired strongly by Harry Brown, and by 2000, I was a libertarian activist, ran for state house in Colorado, got the standard libertarian 2-point-something% of the vote, and started getting frustrated with how much energy I was putting into everything, and never really feeling like I was getting anywhere.
Well, tell me about your software career. I want to, that's a foundation of your activism now. So let's go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're out of high school. Did you go to college for computer uber geekdom, or did you learn it on your own? Or, tell me your history.
Well, it's both, actually. I have a software engineering degree from the University of Colorado, and I've been on the traditional career path. So it's something I do with or without formal training or day job. It's my hobby. I'm a geek and get drawn into computers and programming regardless of whether or not I'm being paid at the moment.
So you started working with corporations making what? I mean, you're coming at this from original coding to what?
Yeah, I started out doing Windows development. A couple of small companies around the university, little tiny startups that would you know, flash in the pan as ideas were tried. And, you know, I never hit my Google or Facebook startup. So,
but it gave you the skills to be able to, let's go ahead and kind of fast forward from the being familiar with writing code and so on, and how that transferred into you being able to do applications for smartphones. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are really, you know, working on, when we started doing the e-zine, we had to really, one, start to understand the iPads and the Android Zooms and all that, and the smartphones and different platforms, because we wanted to convert it into where people could take it to their mobile device. Well, that process took, you know, some understanding of what was available and how we're going to do, and then different applications started coming in. And I need to know, when we come back, Zachary's going to help us understand how his previous training and previous life was adapted to what he could offer the Levolution now. Well, we're going to find out how that happened and what skills are needed, or if any, you know, and where the future is. We're going to find out, you know, where the muscle is with smartphones and mobile devices and activism. We're getting there. We'll be right back. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasy.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I tell you, this has been my experience. I'll give you an example, and you can see how this applies to Zachary. When we were first starting to be really hardcore activists back in the late 80s, early 90s, and so on, you know, there was one thing that was blatantly obvious that we didn't have that was, you know, the internet helped, you know, but internet's just starting to come on, and we were really starting to use it back in 93, 94, you know, with emails, find out what's going on, communicate with people around the country. That's when we started to realize, by 96, we already had Freedom's Phoenix fully developed, in my head, at least. I already understood what was going on. We were just waiting on the bandwidth to be able to do live video, like we're doing right now, live streaming. I go, when that happens, it's all over for the man. It's just a matter of time then. So we knew what was coming. The thing that we missed was the talent to create the software and so on to do what we knew we could make use of. So YouTube hits, being able to share video, audio files, MP3. I started doing radio in 03. Boom, we went right to, you know, MP3 almost immediately. Every word that's ever coming out of my mouth on the air is archived on the internet somewhere in our servers. You know, so my grandkids, what grandpa said, if I'm lucky. So I'm going, all right, you know, what did we need more than anything at the time? We needed an illustrator. You know, you got the editorial page cartoon from the papers and everything, and then one picture, you can get 1,000 words. That's why Freedom's Phoenix has a graphic. For all the articles, I put up the communist, you know, musings of some Washington Post, De La, whatever the heck, and I think we need to know what the guys on the other side, the propaganda mill that they're doing and whatever, but what's our opinion? I don't change the story, I don't change the headline, I don't change the summary, I don't change anything, but I get to pick the graphic. A graphic is worth 1,000 words. This is what I think of their pablum of blood. So That was, you know, but what about the graphics? Where do you get those? Now, there's photographs that you can get on Google Image and so on, and you just go and you take, or you can create. But a lot of the artwork is created by someone. We needed an illustrator. Sooner or later, we have various different ones, but Scott Beezer does a lot of our artwork and so on for what we do. Why? Because he's libertarian. He understands. We started, there was a young illustrator, talented guy at a private school that was near our workshop that would come over and everything. And, we described to him one illustration that we needed done later. Scott and I would work on it. And it was Uncle Sam had just, you know, molested, raped Lady Liberty. You know, it's kind of, he's walking away, you know, zipping up his pants. And that was a little too much for him. These guys, young kid, oh, heck no, they didn't want to do that. Too edgy. So we need an illustrator that would be able to do this to make the point that we want. Scott Beezer. Until we could find someone to do that, that was a big, giant gap that we had. Then we had to have somebody that could do layout for the actual physical newspapers that we did, PageMaker. You know, we get into, you know, different Adobe products, and Apple had theirs. Who could do that? You know, then we start getting into smartphones and applications and everything. I mean, the progression to where if we are going to be able to compete with the big bad boys, we have to be able to present information as well as them. Websites start doing that. We start having applications. In fact, then we start leapfrogging past them. Heck, we're even doing our own currencies. So we're using dime cards. We're starting to deal in silver circles. We're starting to deal bitcoins. We're starting to e-gold started back in the early 2000s. I mean, all of this has been from people that have the ability to take ones and zeros, manipulate them in such a way that we got another tool, a big, giant, freaking fat arrow in our quiver. Well, one of those guys is Zachary Arnold, ZacharyArnold.com. Now, Zachary, let's go ahead and start with that perspective. You have these computer skills. At what point did you start using them for your political activism? When did that happen?
That started about a year ago, and I was...
Well, what the heck were you doing for 20 years?
Well, I was spending a lot of time on fool's errands that didn't produce much return, you know, a lot of effort, but not much return. And I found that, you know, I had, you know, this cool new smartphone. I knew how to program, and I was sitting around wishing that there was an app for LRN to make it easier for me to listen when I was away from the computer. And so I basically wrote it for myself and put it out there, you know, in case other people wanted it. And then it's grown from there and gotten, it was contacted by Drew with respect to doing a silver calculator for iPhone, and it seems to just be picking up speed from there.
Now, that's one thing that we have. There are, once we started the silver calculator, there was the Android app that came on relatively quickly from a gentleman in Maryland that wants to be secret. Then you have Roberts & Roberts has their own iPhone app for silver calculator. They're starting to do theirs. Then they were talking. He goes, yeah, this guy, Zachary, he did the LRN thing. He's kind of out there somewhere. And all of a sudden, a few months later, oh, boom, we got the silver calculator for iPhone. Here it is. I'm done. They forgot all about that you were even doing it, right? Because we get called. Everybody says they're going to do something until they do it. Well, Zachary did it. So I'm going, all right. So here we have somebody that's taken, and did you see the value in your capacity to the movement, or did you didn't really realize, or you're just glad that it's taken off? I mean, you know, what did you anticipate your effort was going to produce?
Initially, I anticipated that there'd be some other people like me who wanted to listen to LRN on the go and weren't really happy with the available solutions for that at the time. I didn't really see it taking off beyond that. It wasn't until, you know, talking about the iPhone version of Silver Calculator that I started seeing, you know, more of the big picture and potential of things.
Well, this is, so now you have what kind of downloads on the Silver Calculator? Are you impressed with, you know, its expansion? I mean, how's it working? Tell me about it.
Oh, it's downloading faster than anything else I've released, and there's big spikes that show up after Freedom's Phoenix or Declare Your Independence broadcast. So, you know, people are listening and getting the message and you know, seeking it out.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about your... I know we want to get to this, but I want to get your skills down. How much effort, how big a hurdle is it to be able to do these applications? I mean, is it you got to be, you know, it's 10 minutes in 20 years, or it's, you know, 10 minutes of where did I find it and, you know, in 20 years of making it? I mean, you know, I mean, it's, you know, tell me where the effort goes into doing these apps. Is it you really need to have the background that you do to be able to do it?
I think that it helps to have a strong background, though. If you've got a, you know, if you're technically minded and a self-starter and, you know, can do some reading, there's no reason why you can't teach yourself to start programming apps and get rolling. It's hard for me to really gauge that.
I mean, for you to do this iPhone Silver Calculator, it was like 3 months we didn't hear, and then all of a sudden there it was. How many man hours of actual work did it take for you to do the iPhone Silver Calculator?
It was a couple weeks. It was more getting time in my schedule than it was work on actually producing the app.
You know, this is going to be a worldwide game changer. I just want to make sure everybody understands this Silver Calculator and the ability to do these various apps by the whims and desires of the market. You know, this is where the future is.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, Ernest Hancock and Zachary Arnold yakking it up off air, getting fine, you know, want to distill it down to what we all need to know. Let me tell you what's going on. It doesn't matter how smart you are and the ability for you to create and make a widget of whatever, you know, if nobody wants the widget. Well, I wanted the widget. All right, fine, so go build a widget. You know, make it whatever you want. Can you build what I want? Can you build what the market wants? You know, well, the ability, you know, to make something is one thing. The ability to make what everybody wants is a whole nother. So once you demonstrate your ability to create and make something, well, then what does the market want? Well, I can make that. I can do that illustration. I have the capacity to, you know, write that program. I can, you know, create that website. I can make, you know, it's always, it's not, you know, that whatever idea you have, you know, which sometimes they spark, man. They just, you know, I give you Google, Facebook, Yahoo, whatever. I've seen this stuff explode. But what happens is when you have the people that can create the dreams of others, when somebody goes, I have this idea. Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. What they're missing is the idea. Whenever you can put the people that can make an idea come to fruition and the people that have the idea. And a lot of people play on that, too. It's like these, you know, these invention services. Yes, we can patent and file and do and all and kind of come to us and give us money and we'll create your idea and do whatever. Well, you know, that these kind of services are available for a lot of things. But what you really need is I have a need, and usually whenever I can create in my imagination, I say this to my kids and my wife all the time. I go, I'm going to have this within 2.6 years. Why? Because I thought of it. Well, what are you going to do to make it happen? Nothing. Just the fact that I freaking thought of it and it's a cool idea and I want it, you know, I don't even really need to waste my time because if you're thinking of a good idea, somebody else is thinking of it too, and it's who does it first. It's always about who does it first, who does it best, who can maintain the brand, who can be the person that innovates and creates and keeps adding on and more features and makes it better and gets a good reputation. That is the market. That is what happens. No matter what I think, I want my, what do I want more than anything else? You hear me screaming on all the time, I want my flying car. I want my car. I want my car. I got my Jetson car just a couple weeks ago. Made in Denmark. You know, here it comes. So gyrocopter goes, you know, 300-mile range, 100 miles an hour on the ground in the air. Do it. I'm going to park my garage. Boom. Boom, shakalaka, I win. Why? Because I thought of it, and here it comes. Well, you have guys like Zachary Arnold that can do it. So what's happened, Drew Phillips has been very inspirational to him, what Freedom's Phoenix is doing, L.R. Rand, what we're talking about, Silver Calculator. They go to you know, out there and say, you know, we need somebody that can. Zach goes, I can do that. Well, how come you didn't do it? Well, I didn't think about it. Now, I didn't need it. I didn't want it. I was, you know, I'm bit, man, I got a life. I got a wife and two kids. I'm living in Colorado. Man, I'm, you know, I commute, you know, electronically and do my job kind of, you know, out of New Hampshire. And but you know what? That's a good idea. I ain't going to do that. So Zachary starts doing it. So go ahead and explain to me the collaborative effort. You know, you're working with guys like Drew, and all of a sudden you're able to marry an idea to your ability. You know, what's the future look like?
The future is, it's going to be hard for me to keep up with everything we've been talking about. I think the big thing coming up is added features on silver calculator, you know, with more coins, more nationalities of silver coins, and getting Bitcoin brought in on the app. And, you know, there's talk of having, you know, merchant service side, you know, version for vendors as well as, you know, Joe customer walking into the store. So that, you know, it's on both sides of the sales desk.
I give you a good example. We have in France, there is an effort during their 2012 campaign. It's kind of like the Lovolution, Ron Paul Revolution here. And they embraced that. They thought that was the coolest thing ever. So here we have, they're running a candidate in 2012, Bastiat. Bastiat 2012, that's their campaign. And it's all a, you know, awareness thing. So they're all over it. They're going, yeah, we love the dime card. That is, oh, this is exactly what, because of the silver calculator. So what did they do? They said, you know, here are some templates just so you guys know what we're ripping you off of. And they went ahead, and their business card, their credit card format is a little bit different. It's a little wider. Their wallets are different. So they had, you know, a totally different template, same concept, and they have these old francs that, you know, like 100 years old that they have some before they went away from silver. So they got the silver. They're creating their own cards. Done. Can you please make euros one of the denominations in the silver calculator? Because if you can, and we can put this coin up, well, we want to transfer into what? You know, U.S. dollars, Bitcoin, this, that, whatever. You know, what you know the currency. Oh, we're going to do it euro. All right, fine. You can do it to one. We can do it to yen. We can do it to what? So then they go and they say, you know, we kind of need this. Who does that? Zachary. Okay, so Zachary, tell me, you know, just creating another currency for to denominate silver in, to do the calculation, is that like a major thing, a little thing, a short-term, we're going to have it thing? What?
Adding each new currency, coin type, whatever, is not that much work once the core apps are in place. We spend more time worrying about, you know, parsing new data feeds and, you know, tweaking the user interface for the new information than any, you know, the hard part's done already. So
okay, so this is, so when they come to us and they said, hey, man, we need this in the euros, you're going, done, you know, wait until I get like a day off and, you know, I get the lawn mowed and I'll get right to it, right?
Yeah, life can get in the way sometimes, but, yeah, if I have a data feed given the euro exchange rates, then it's put to pull in, you know, and exchange rates are out there to be had, so that's not a tough one.
Okay, so this is this a creating applications, a business model for, all right, you pay me to create it, or is the real money in the pay to download it? Is the real money in making it available for different businesses to use for whatever? I mean, once you start creating a reputation for being able to do useful and attractive applications, all of a sudden your services may be in demand, you think?
I'm hoping so. I would love to give up my day job and be nothing but Liberty Apps for you know, for all my income. Currently, I am going off the advertising model where there's an ad banner on each of the apps except for Silver Calculator.
No, I think that's where, that was kind of where I was steering this thing, as much influence as I could have on the guys and you guys. And so I'm saying, look, I'll tell you where the money's going to be. It's going to be in the gazillions of people that have this application downloaded to where you can put up your own banner ads on the app. You know, and I'm starting to see that as a standard model for a lot of these apps. Now, of course, they go a little further and we want to track you and get your DNA sample, you know, and click here and I agree or something, you know. But, you know, aside from that, I mean, just getting eyeballs when you're cross-promoting each other, you have a wallet voting at the bottom or Freedom's Phoenix or a whatever or shows or different activists or your own thing or whatever you want to do. When you got tens of thousands of people with your application download on their smartphone that you want to push or market or whatever, oh, by the way, you like this application, you might need to buy you some dimes. Well, you go over here to Roberts & Roberts and get you some dimes. So this is, I can see where this goes. But is there something else that you have on the radar screen for yourself? Or, you know, are you inspired enough dealing with Freedom's Phoenix guys and Drew and the Silver Calculator and Don't Tread on Meme? And has that got you sparked? You got enough to keep you busy for like a lifetime?
the way our conversation's going, I think that could keep me busy for a lifetime. So I've also, with the LRN Liberty Radio app, I was also able to do a spinoff of that for Ron Paul Radio, and so I'm geared up for other internet radio networks as well, so that's a capability that I've been putting out there. I also have a little Liberty Quotes app, and I've thought about maybe doing spinoffs from that with other other genres of quotes, you know, maybe stupid things presidents say quotes or something.
Do you see the value? Now, let's go give it out. It's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Arnold, A-R-N-O-L-D.com. Go check out ZacharyArnold.com. And because, you know, heck, he's got plenty to keep him busy forever and the activist thing, and you can kind of, you know, upgrade this. I'd like you to have that. What about this feature? And you can complain all you want and whine, but, you know, you got to wait till he gets done pulling weeds, and he'll get to it. But the thing is that it's also the capacity that he has available for you to purchase, I am sure. And check out Zachary Arnold. We're going to take advantage of him right up until he won't let us anymore. We'll be right back.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on M-E-M-E, Fashioning the Silver Economy. A meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info. And get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't tread on meme. Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It's me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUTIFUL studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomspeaks.com here at the farm. Go check out freedomsphoenixezine.com. And we're working on being able, we want to, you know, just as, you know, practice what we preach kind of thing, we take silver, you know, you use your silver calculator, make the conversion, how much, whatever, because this is what happens. If you want to get a year's worth of access to all the past issues we have. We're on our 11th issue. We'll have a full year's worth this next month. We get done with the May. We started in June. We get done with May. That means we got 12, a full year calendar worth of. So we're going to start. We're going to do us a calendar. We're going to do us a dime card 12 pack series of, you know, we got all the covers because a lot of those are popular, especially the first one. So we go, all right. You know, so we got that silver calculator, and people can see what the value is. And I said, but, you know, you want to give me $50, you know, for a year, and you get a dime card. Or you do $100 a year, and you get one silver ounce round, 1 ounce round of Freedom's Phoenix silver medallion that we have. And then you go, and it's AOCS, so, you know, it's silver and so on. And they're very nice, very pretty. So we go ahead and give those out. Now, people go to me, and they said, what if I pay in silver? I go, yes, it's 1 ounce. You know, you get a year or 2 ounces, and I'll send you the 1 ounce silver medallion from Freedom's Phoenix and a year subscription and a dime card. So they're going, yeah, but Ernie, if I do that, you know, it's only, you only come out net $30-something. An ounce of silver is only $30-something. You send me another ounce, it's still just 30, you know, $30, even if I give you 2 ounces. I give you 1 ounce, it's only $30-something. You're getting $30-something. You know, am I ripping you off? Well, it all depends. You know, my perspective is I'd rather have the silver. So if I'm willing to take the silver, you know, are you saving Federal Reserve notes? Yes, you are. And I don't care. I want the silver. It's all perception of value. What is the value? Well, how do you determine it anyway? How much do you know? Well, we go to Pork Fest. What are we going to do? We're going to have the Agorist Alchemist on. You know, he's coming on in the next hour. We're going to talk one thing. And he thought I was being critical of him, and I wasn't. You know, I was just pointing out something, is that when we were, if we go out and we set the rate, for dime cards, I'm going, you know, we'll use this from what he did with the copper. He said they're worth $1.25. Sell them for $1.25, buy them back $1.25. At the end of the event, if, you know, people that don't, you know, give them back, well, whatever the profit was of me making them, I made that because they wanted to keep the copper more than they wanted to turn it in. And I'm not going to stay here all freaking day. You know, it's Sunday, we're ready to packing up and done, and you had your chance. So what if we do the same thing with dime cards? I go, all right, they're worth $5. I saw them for $5. I redeem them at $5. How many people would want to keep them? How would they know the value? Well, that's when we started. We just released the iPhone version of the Silver Calculator at Porkfest last year. And this, or they were announced, no, we just released the Android version of it, and then the iPhone came later with Zachary. This, what you're seeing right now, this is how entire planets are changed. It was from the understanding, awareness, and the need of, and then that need got filled. Zachary Arnold is one of the guys. Zachary, help me out here in understanding what your understanding was of what you were doing. At what point did you start to get, before you even started making the application, when you first saw it, when you started seeing the downloads of it, when did you start realizing that you were being part of something much larger?
It wasn't until after I put it out there and conversations started talking on where it would go next. I know the guys working on the Android side were, you know, already well on their way on brainstorming those ideas, but, you know, my coming late to the game, I hadn't heard any of those, and when I started talking to them about what's next and they were sharing their ideas, I was floored. It's amazing how far this could go on empowering people to do, you know, free transactions.
Well, it's going to be more than people think because it's international and because we're able to use. I tell you where the problem has been is minting your own coins has an enormous cost in just the minting. Well, the U.S. Junk silver, what do you want to call it? The ones 90% silver. And the only reason they call it junk is because it doesn't have numismatic value. It's not as shiny. Well, so freaking what? It's got silver in it, man. That's all I care. So what happens is it's recognizable. Well, there are other currencies that are just as recognizable in different parts of the world. Heck, even the peso was silver at one time. You have different currencies in throughout Europe and Asia that do the same thing. So the ability, using the silver calculator, to go in whatever local recognizable currency, they may not know what a dime is, you know, U.S. dime, but they sure as heck know what their blah, blah, blah is, and they go, ooh, I'd be seeing that. Boom, boom, here it goes. This is a global thing. So with that in mind, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it can become a universal financial translator, essentially, where I've got silver pesos and you have silver mercuries and we have no idea how to do a transaction. And, you know, somebody else with, you know, euros or FRNs, and we can all do exchanges once the, you know, all those conversions are in the calculator. Just bring out your calculator app and, you know, now I know how to do business with
Star Trek, whatever. Universal calculator, universal translator to finances. And that's where it usually starts is business anyway. So here you got some business being conducted with a universal financial translator. You know, that's probably what we should call it. Copyright Ernie Hancock. You go, yeah, you know, that would be, you know, universal financial translator. Heck, man, I'm going to freaking, you better go buy that domain right now. UniversalFinancialTranslator.com. Yeah, go get it, because if you don't, somebody else will. So this is, so that's really what you're looking for and what you're capable of doing. And what's the only limitation that you really have on the application doing this kind of stuff? It's just time and, you know, a wife, you know, allowing you to sit at your computer uninterrupted? I mean, what's your limitation?
My wife's wonderful. She lets me spend all kinds of time at the computer, so that part's pretty good. The it's more the day job and needing to actually, you know, make money myself to put food on the table. And, you know, if I can transition things to, you know, creating this being my full-time job, then, you know, there's not much limitation at all.
Well, when you do the iPhone, isn't it, is it free or does it have to be purchased?
For the iPhone app or
yeah,
the
app.
Yeah, the app's a free download.
Well, I thought I didn't even know the iStore even allowed free downloads. I mean, how do they get away with that? I thought they charged all the time.
No, there's a huge volume of free apps on the App Store, and a lot of them are ad-based, and some of them are, you know, free download with, you know, paid upgrades you can do from within the app. And there is quite a bit of, quite a long list of features being discussed as a, you know, Silver Calculator Pro kind of upgrade that might be happening. So,
yeah, you know, that's, I can tell you, you know, one thing that I'd be willing to pay extra for is, well, one, you know, I have Android, but, you know, the big thing is to be able to market on it. Okay, that's one thing. The other thing is to be able to use it like a point of sale system to where it can also put up my menu, what things I have offered. I get to insert my things into the actual app, have my own customizable one. I'm able to interface directly with my shopping cart on the blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of different applications that can be added to this. Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible. Those things have been discussed even, and I'm not exactly sure how far the design and planning's happened on the Android side. I'm still ramping up with them somewhat, but my goal is, if it happens on Android, it's going to happen on iPhone too. And of course, any brilliant ideas I come up with, I'll, you know, be sharing them the other direction as well.
This is amongst your peers. You know, I'm sure throughout your life as a programmer and code writer and all that, you have other people you made friends with in the industry and everything. Have you shared it with them and go, nah, 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 nah? Are they impressed?
I've just been stuck with quite a few status peers as far as my immediate circle. So, by and large, people I've shown it to outside of Liberty Circles have been kind of bored with it. We need to have the conversation of, you know, once they get over 10 plaques, and then the apps are becoming interesting.
You know, I think this is, it's a foundational, you know, when this stuff explodes, that's why I always say this. I go, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And this is a perfect example. The calculator, Silver Calculator, the concept is in somebody's head. It gets created in Android. It gets created in an iPhone. You create the infrastructure. You get the Bitcoin. You have the activists. You get the guys that can do the artwork, create the websites, have the ability to want to use it as a vendor. I want to, you know, use it. Some people wants to give me money. They want to use this to do it. And all of a sudden, it just happens. And boom, shakalaka, overnight, it just explodes everywhere. And everybody goes, what happened? Where did that come from? See, it all builds up. Doesn't happen all at once, but it does happen overnight.
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? You'll find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get your hands on silver dime trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovelution, and the cover art of George Orwell's book 1984. Download the free Silver Calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Don't Tread on Meme's clever apparel. Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of consent. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No
fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and my very special guest, the agorist alchemist, Matt Whitlock. Now, right off the bat, let's go. I got you there, Matt?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go ahead and make sure we get the level right here. There we go. Okay, Matt. Let me tell you, this is, I want to make sure we clear the air here with the audience and everything. You know, Matt was like, hey, man, don't be dissing me on the air. You know, and I'm going, what? You know, this is what happened. I first met Matt in Pork Fest, saw he set up his booth there and everything. He's got it going on. I know we called those, you know, Libertarian Gypsy booths, man. We used to do that with plywood and 2x4s and 4x4. We got us nice, you know, set up. Boom. We got a bunch of them here that we've done for different things. So we recognize it. Here's a guy serious, going to put up, build his own thing and say, I'm here. And we're going to do something that I thought was very creative. He set the price of copper at Pork Fest. And he did it this way. He goes, you know what? They're $1.25 each. I buy them back at $1.25. Boom, you just set the price. We're going to do, I'm like, hey, we can do the same thing with the dime cards. We will sell them at $5. We'll buy them back at $5. Now, a lot of people are going to want to keep them. You know, they're creative. They're nice. They'll be trading them like trading cards. They like, you know, Ross Edwards come up with some great artwork. And he's like, hey, man, ain't it cool? Yes, it is. So much it's worth $5. You know, it's worth the extra $2 in premium. It's mine. Thank you very much. So then we're going, you know, we realize it wasn't until later that, you know, people are like, where's he at on Sunday? Well, he's not going to be there for freaking ever. He was there for, you know, as long as he was going to be there. Said, hey, I'm over here. You're not coming. I got to pack up one of these days. So, of course, they're waking up, you know, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday from their hangover and going, you know, where'd he go? Hey, man, he was there. But that wasn't the point that I was trying to make. The point that I was making and that I'm going, oh, that's something that we did not anticipate. When you pay whatever it costs, and, you know, AOCS, he's getting these copper rounds, Lord knows what they were charging them. The point was, is when you set a price on something and you set the market value of that and you have the time to, you know, come get it. All right, cool. But if we do that, we were inspired by Matt. We'll do the same thing with the dime cards. What happens is when people don't return them, they want to keep them, there's profit there. I'm going, ow. So people that wanted to keep the copper, which I did several, you know, I wasn't even looking for you. I just, you know, that I wanted them. And what happened, I'm going, okay, you know, there's profit in there for the bank, for the exchange, for the media. Since that time, we go, oh, yeah, we like this Matt thing, you know, setting the price, doing this, and the side effect of people just wanting to keep them, that's profit, which a lot of people wanted to. So there was no, you know, accusation of me being shady. It was just a realization. Oh, there's an opportunity for people that want to keep the coins. There's some profit there. Cool. We're going to follow Matt on this. And from the beginning, we always wanted to make sure that Matt was included in whatever we did there or if he allowed us to hang with him. So what we're doing, Drew came up with the concept. We're going to have a tank. I go, tank? What do you call tank? Because tank's better than a bank. All right, fine. You know, whatever he wants to call it. I don't know how he came up with that. But anyway, so we're going to have a geodesic dome that we're building out of electrical conduit. Now, we've done them with half-inch conduit. Now, we're going to do it with three-quarter inch. And it's all ready, done in a packet. You go there and you erect it in half a day. And boom, you got your nice little temporary, you know, robo-shelter there. And we'll get Phoenix Tent and Awning to make the covering for it. And we can even logo it and everything. We're going to be cool. So what do we do? Well, we're like, everybody gets to come. Whoever wants to use it, whoever wants to get a table, whoever wants to come in. And we're going to have a turret up in the center where we can get up and fight off the zombies versus humans and trying to get into the bank we win. Because Drew wants to. I have no idea. But anyway, so that's what's going on. So I welcome Matt Whitlock. So, Matt, I apologize if you ever got the impression we were being disparaging what you were doing. In fact, we were being very complimentary, and we wanted to be your new best friends. So can I get you to accept my apology?
Absolutely. And thank you. I guess I just misinterpreted what you said on the air previously, but I am glad to be clearing the air now.
No. It was a realization. I didn't even think of it. You know, I'm going, oh, it just dawned on me, all the people that kept the copper, that's where a lot of the profit was in. So we saw the opportunity, okay, with the dime card, same thing. How do we set the price? Because this is the mistake that I don't think it was a mistake, but this is what I had done when I went last time.
when I went to Pork Fest, I wanted to get, we had a bunch, hundreds of Freedom's Phoenix dime cards done up. I went out and just started buying any and everything and giving them at $3.50, I think it was, or $3. That whatever the spot was at the time. You know, silver was something stupid in the 40s or something at the time. So I'm going, you know, here, we're just going to set the value at, you know, $3.50 or whatever it was. I think it was $3.50, and the 10th-ounce rounds of Silver Circle were going for $4. So we're going, all right. So that was kind of the standard. Then you came in with $1.25 for the copper rounds. So within a day, I mean, boom. You know, we got standards set here. Why? Because that's what it's set at. So I'm going, all right, I would have been better off if we did what you did, where we're going to go, all right, we will sell and accept and return for value whatever we set with the dime cards. And we better, so that was, it was just that realization, you know, that was really what we were talking about. So this, so now that we can be best friends again, I want to make sure that we're participating, working together on that. What's your plan for Pork Fest this time? Because I could see what was coming. This Agorist Valley kind of deal, I'm going, we just have way too much fun and demonstrating way too easily what is possible. I just know the man is going to be, you know, enticed to come just because of that. So what is your plan this time, and how can we work together?
Well, I would love to work together. I would say my plan is not very much different than last year. A point I might make is in order to set the price by offering to buy things back, you have to be the lowest price. Otherwise, someone else will set the price. So the only way to do that is, the only way to do that economically is to have volume. So I love the dime cards. I love that you're doing the same thing with them, and I'll probably pick up a few myself. And the guarantee of buying them back is, at the same price, it definitely improves confidence of the market in that particular currency. Confidence.
But why? I mean, what? I'm embarrassed that we didn't think of it. So I'm wondering what caused you to think of it. What line in some Austrian economic book did you read where you go, you know, I'm going to set the price, or that you would think that there were even needed to be a price to be set? Because the ounce of copper, the actual value of that, I don't know, what is it, a quarter, 30 cents, if that? I mean, what?
It's like 24 cents.
Okay, so let's say it's a quarter. So you're going, you know, I'll make it $1.25. And why did you do that? What prompted you? Not that it's a great idea, and I understand why now, but I mean, what prompted you to be so far ahead of us?
Well, it wasn't anything I read. It was just something I was thinking about. The reason I called myself the Agorist Alchemist first off was alchemy is, of course, the study of, it's kind of a black science, is a study of transmuting worthless metals like lead into more valuable metals like gold. And so what I wanted to do and still do is to quote-unquote transmute a worthless currency, Federal Reserve notes, into a valuable currency, copper. And see, I noticed that when the United States originally went from a value-backed currency to the paper currency we have now, they facilitated it by offering an equivalence between the two. So people could go either direction. They could take their silver in and get paper notes for it, and they could take the paper notes in and get silver for it. And it was the same ratio both directions. So there was no friction in the market. And people weren't afraid to go to the paper. Obviously, it has less intrinsic value.
It was just a way to suck us in. They were sucking us
that's
in.
That's absolutely right.
So now we understand. We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube. What do I see? A whole lot of people crying. Don't blame me. But point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and you're getting too fat. Get over it.
Just get over it and do something about it. We got another gentleman that's doing something about it. The Agorist Alchemist, Matt Whitlock, is doing something. Doing something as a young man. I was very happy to see. It looked like, Matt, though, you know, this is just you thing. And you're a young guy. I mean, you're like under 30. I mean, how old are you?
I'm 28.
28, out there doing it. Did somebody help you build this? Was it your own concept? Were you motivated, you know, a self-starter? You had to, because you had to have gotten the campsite, you know, you had to have planned, you built your booth, you had a television monitor up there, you're making a point. The big point you were trying to is like, you know, is copper the next silver? I mean, you know, we're going to get, like we were talking about it before, you know, when your silver dime is worth $300, you might want to make change, you know? So it's, right. You know, I want to get some of the history of you personally and how you got involved in this and what, you know, a light bulb went off in your head to even start. You know, help me out.
Well, I'm a free stater, first of all, so I live in New Hampshire now. I moved a couple of years ago. I found out about the project, the Free State Project, because I was in the Ron Paul meetup group in Gainesville, Florida, and one of the other members of that group knew about the Free State Project, and he convinced me to come up for Liberty Forum, and I just immediately fell in love. I had never been around so many people who actually made sense to me, and so I decided right then and there that I was going to make New Hampshire my new home, and I did in 2010. So last year was actually the first Pork Fest that I had gone to, but I had, of course, read stories and talked to people about it. And like you said, I have nothing against silver. I love silver. I love silver more than copper. But for something like Pork Fest, where you need small transactions, and you've obviously noticed this too, you need small denominations. And it's hard to get small denominations at a low enough cost. And I think you mentioned that on your show too about the overheads involved in minting like the 10th ounce silver rounds. It's prohibitive. So your idea with the dime cards is great. You know, use the coins that are already made. A past generation paid the costs for minting them. So there is that issue about copper that the copper rounds are significantly overpriced, I guess I might say. In that the costs of minting them are very high compared to the costs of the copper. But that may change and probably will change as there's more demand for copper as a monetary commodity. So, you know, if it's just inflation increasing the price of everything, then the price of production will go up too. But if the demand starts to increase relative to the supply, then we'll actually see more real value in the copper.
It's going to be interesting if the United States government ever goes back to actually minting real coins. I mean, they're getting to the point now the dollar is devalued so much that not only do they got to make it illegal for you to melt down, you know, the coins that they're doing, it's that they can't make anything that's like metal that's worth more than what it cost them to make it. I mean, you know, it's or even the metal in it. So it's just, you know, you got pennies worth, you know, even with the crap metal in it worth, you know, almost 2 cents now, you're going, or certainly more than a penny. There was a friend of mine, it's a long story, bottom line is this. He's probably in his 60s now, and when he was 13, he became a millionaire. He's a genius guy to begin with. He's a friend of a good friend, and, you know, we had this conversation, and this is what happened. Once he realized that he could just purchase a bunch of, you know, pennies and nickels and dimes and so on and just take them straight from the mint, have them shipped over to some smelter, then melt it down, give him the profit, he goes, well, I can do that. That's a phone call. I buy this, send it over there, give me the profit. And he just kept doing that, and that's how he seeded himself to be a gazillionaire and use his brain to make money in the stock market. A teenager. Understanding how stupid the government is in dealing with money. Now, the thing is that you take advantage of that. You go and look, man, the education we get out of the silver is that, you know, this dime is now worth $3 or something. Guess what that means? You know, depreciation of the dollar. Copper is going to, you know, come into its own simply because you need to chop up, you know, it has to have the fungibility, the visibility of, you know, other precious metals. And I wouldn't, you know, is copper considered a precious metal or going to be precious metal? I mean, it gets to a point. I mean, what determines it being precious?
Copper now is considered a base metal, and that's evidenced by its price being given in dollars per pound rather than dollars
per pound. Well, I'm wondering where that line is. When I can buy a car with an ounce of copper, it starts to be pretty precious after a while. I'm wondering where the line is.
I think the line is arbitrary.
Okay, well, you know, you just increased its value by, you know, being the agorist alchemist and setting a price on it. Boom, all of a sudden you're my new best friend when it comes to learning about how you can do this with copper. Now, AOCS is where you're going to be getting copper, or you got another supply, or are you going to start getting old pennies? I mean, how are you going to do this?
Oh, I bought everything from AOCS. I'm not, like, trying to mint anything myself. Well, although that would be nice, the capital costs are outrageous. So, yes, I acquired all of my inventory from AOCScopper.com.
So how much are they charging for an ounce round right now if you bought them in bulk?
The wholesale prices, well, I don't know if they'd want me to tell you this on air, but I would say it's pretty much the same prices that I'm selling them for at Porkfest. This year it will be a dollar.
So they're usually, yeah, so they're coming in, you know, maybe if there's any profit to be made, like 80 cents, 90 cents, a little bit under a dollar kind of thing. So,
right.
And they put two on. I just got an email today. It goes, I got my silver medallion, Freedom's Phoenix medallion. I love my Freedom's Phoenix medallion. Why does it say 50 on the back? And I go, because AOCS said it's 50. 50 what? I don't know. It's 50. You know, on the ounce round for the copper, it says two. Two what? I don't know. Two. You know, so it doesn't matter,
right.
But at least it's 1 ounce and it's from somebody you know is probably copper. All right, so we're good.
Right, and the standards, the AOCS standards actually don't require the rounds to have that denomination printed on them. So some of them, I don't remember which designs, will only just list the weight and not the number of AOCS trade units.
Okay, I think that's better anyway, because at least it doesn't say dollars. That was the problem with the Liberty, is they go, oh, it's dollars. Well, is it? I mean, you know, a dollar was defined as 0.77 ounces, and it was 1 ounce, so it wasn't even the definition of a dollar as defined by the Coin Act of 1792. So I'm just like, you know, blah,
right.
blah, blah. So we can get, you know, all back and forth on this, but all of those issues go away when Matt sets a price. Do you have an idea what you're going to set the price in at the Porkfest this year?
Yeah, I'll just set it at a dollar. My costs are lower this year because I acquired more copper and went directly to the source.
Okay, now this is, you know, when you're doing this, I'm wondering what your motivation is. I mean, you're going, okay, I mean, I'm sure there's some profit to be made in there, and we're going to have fun, and it's cool, and a service that needs to be, you know, provided, and you did it and demonstrated a lot of stuff. We learned a lot from you. So I'm just going, you know, you're going to do it again because it's cool, it's fun, it's profitable. What are you trying to accomplish?
I'm just trying to get more people used to the idea of conducting business using currency that has actual value. So I'm really not trying to make a profit. In fact, I didn't make a profit last year at Porkfest because all the Federal Reserve notes that I took in, net any that I gave back out, I actually donated to the Free State Fund.
Very
so I went
cool.
There
we'll talk
money.
About that when we come back in just a little bit.
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? You'll find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get your hands on silver dime trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovelution, and the cover art of George Orwell's book 1984. Download the free silver calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Don't Tread on Meme's clever apparel. Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of consent. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
You grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud. Wish no voices can be heard. Just want to scream it louder and louder and louder. What the hell are we fighting for?
Yeah, what are we fighting for here on Declare Your Independence? Me, Ernest Hancock, and my new best friend, Matt Whitlock. The Agorist Alchemist, which I always thought was a very cool name, by the way. And he had a nice setup there, and he really put forth the effort to make sure he had a sturdy presentation. He wanted to make sure that people understood what they were doing. He had, you know, a big monitor up there playing when we were already enamored with him from the beginning. So I just didn't want him to get any impression otherwise. He has been at the top of our mind and in our conversations a lot more than Matt realizes. Now, Matt, the one thing that I did want to get into, we were just starting to get to before, is that this was a labor of love. You wanted to make sure that your concept of using real money, real metal, real value in transactions and kind of help it along by setting a market price. But, you know, in all of this, you know, whatever you did make, I remember conversations you donated a lot of the proceeds to the Free State Project itself. Tell us about that.
That's right. So the entire time I was there, part of my presentation on that TV monitor was a running tally of the number of copper rounds that I put into circulation, the net count, you know, what I put out minus what I've taken back in. And the totals at by the end were I had sold about 1,900 and I had bought back about 200. So at $1.25 each, it was over 2,000 FRN that I received for the copper. And right on that monitor, it said all the proceeds at the end will be donated to the Free State Project. And I did make that donation.
I wouldn't do that again.
I don't plan to do it again.
I mean, it was nice
of
you. But
now I'm donating monthly to the Free State Project now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was nice of you, but you didn't need to do that for me to buy the copper. I mean, nothing against Free State. I think it's noble's the grave how you look after the Free State Project. But, the making money is not a bad thing either. So I vote making money. And that's probably what we're really going to focus on this time, because we were really wanting to do what you were doing, is to kind of introduce the concept. But the whole point of it is to, you know, not only provide a service and value and create a current, but if you're not showing profit, you know, it won't replicate itself. It won't be repeated. You won't have competition, and we want competition. So here when we did the Daily Paul dime cards, I knew it was going to be popular. I knew I wanted to have a bunch of them made up in advance. And we did 1,000 and already sold a couple hundred, or I think the printer shorted us a little bit. But, you know, we had 800 ready. I said, Michael Nystrom, I got 800, man. Let's go. Boom. Hour and a half, they were gone. All of a sudden, it gets over 6,000. I said, you know, we got to stop, man. I mean, we got to make these. So we brought in the team. I mean, we got in. We're rock and roll and whatnot. This is in demand. And ounce coppers are going to be very popular also, for just the reasons that you say. There needs to be some kind of a small denomination. I can see what's going to happen. These coppers are going to be going all over the place. And the ones that stay in circulation and people keep, depending on what the design is and desirability, and are just lazy, you know, that's profit. And I say Matt gets to keep it with my endorsement, okay? So don't feel one little bit of whatever. I want to be like you. So amen, brother. Now, this is, what's your plan for Pork Fest this time? Are you going to hang with us? Are we going to be able to work together a little bit? Are we going to, you know, start promoting? Because I have no idea what we're going to do other than try and create a safe, you know, environment and a place and a kind of an exchange or something, whoever wants to play. Talk to Ron Helwig, you know, on Shire. I'm trying to convince him to do some dimes, and so I think we can start, you know, working on that a little bit and promoting his brand and making sure that you're included and so on, because I see where this goes. It goes far enough in my mind that I know the man's not going to be none too happy about it. Have you got any kind of regulatory or people breathing down your neck, or, you know, giving you a little shiny sunglass curly thing in their ear in a black suit kind of visit?
I have not received any kind of visit, but you know what? Even if I had, they probably wouldn't let me tell you about it. Not that I would really respect that.
Yeah, Patriot Act.
You know, I'm an agorist.
All right, so we're plowing forward. Now, what's your plan in the future? You kind of hit a niche. I mean, a lot of people are very impressed with the initiative that you took on your own to do this, and I don't really realize if you realize how much of an inspiration, you know, just filling this gap with copper and doing it the way you did and the presentation that you did. How long before you started to understand that you really had an impact on Pork Fest?
Well, I think you flatter me too much. It was really just a hobby and remains as such, although I have given some thought to trying to put this idea out further than just Pork Fest. But, you know, I don't really have a lot of time to devote to it. Pork Fest is kind of a vacation for me.
Yeah, me too. But, I really don't want to I don't want you to go away without an understanding of how much we understood the impact that you had. Who was the other guy that had copper out there? Nobody. Who was the other guy that set a value on whatever currency was being exchanged that you can turn it into that guaranteed the value? Nobody. Who was the other person that had a denomination that was low enough that they could use to go to vendors and get, and then the vendors could turn them in to get money so they can go buy groceries? Nobody. Who was the person that had this and doing a video up there showing and explaining what they're doing? Nobody. Who was the person that took whatever proceeds they did make from it and give it back to Free State Project? Nobody. Who was the person that, you see my point? There's always the first guy that does this stuff that inspires others. You were that person. And I'm going, right freaking on. And it helped us. We saw immediately when we went there that the problem was not that they were willing to accept the silver. It was the vendors and the restaurant guys that had to go to the grocery store. They're going, look, man, we got to get some Federal Reserve notes so we can go buy groceries. Well, of course, everybody and their grandma was like, hey, man, I'll buy them from you, so that wasn't a problem. But it demonstrated the need for some kind of an exchange, exactly how you blaze the trail. So this is the importance that just somebody getting off their butt and doing something has on an entire movement is a demonstration of what you did. So we want to hang with you, make us look good because I'm selfish.
Well, yeah, I'll definitely be spending a lot of my time at the first anarcho tank.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. We're going to have some fun. We're going to put some effort in. Drew's going to come up and we're going to get it all taken care of. Because I have one here that we did a test version on, so the proof of concept. So we need to go ahead and build it and get it broke down and we'll take it out there. But then we might not want to bring it back. We just leave it with you. You can be the keeper of. But what we'll go ahead and do is I want to make sure, certainly by the final segment, that we get to know you a little bit. When you went to the Free State Project, start us off, man. You go, I need to go. Why did you want to go? And what are you doing there? What are you doing for work? How are you integrating? Where are you living? Do you have roommates? Are you married? I mean, give me the whole spiel, man.
No, I'm single. I've never been married. I have no kids. I kept my same job when I moved because I'm a software guy, and I worked from home. I lived in Florida, and then I moved to Cleveland for a girl. Bad mistake. Ohio has terrible laws. And then I moved to New Hampshire, and I've kept my same job throughout all that. Thank goodness I do not take that for granted, especially in this economy.
So what is it that you do? You're a software engineer, code making, doing
engineer.
Whatever? Yeah, what does that mean? You're talking to a non-geek here. You do what?
I write programs for computers, specifically network security is the industry that I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Anybody with a freedom-oriented website is always needing some network security. I can tell you that right now. Fortunately, we got some guys, but we may need some help. Is there a business that you have or anything else we can promote for you? Make sure people know, go check you out. And what you got a website?
I don't have any website. Like I said, this is just a hobby of mine.
Well, it says go to Agorist Alchemist website. Is there one?
There is not one. There was one last year, but I let the domain registration lapse
because okay.
I don't really need it.
Yeah, it's like work. All right, cool. So this is one thing that I want to, talk to you about when we come back. We have the silver calculator. We just had one of the Zachary Arnold on before that, does this. Is copper, on the block there? Should we be adding that? And which rounds? And what rounds are available? Is there other ways to purchase copper? How are we going to get copper into the system when an ounce is at the value, the weight, is like a quarter? It has some just base value, but Matt's willing to give it a higher value. Can we do it at other places other than being physically at Porkfest? Can it be traded in bitcoins or something here out in the world so we can give it value? How are we going to do that?
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-4444. 1-800-273-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. On the line, Matt Whitlock in New Hampshire, a part of the Free State Project there. You know, let's go ahead. A couple of things we ended the last segment on, I want to know, is that would the inclusion of copper in the silver calculator be of advantage? And the other thing is that, you know, that's one thing we were talking to Zachary about. Maybe we can work it to where we could have a temporary addition to the silver calculator for different events, to where all of a sudden on the silver calculator, it just goes, boom. An ounce of copper is worth a dollar. Go over there and, you know, and Matt will take care of you. And then after the event, it just expires. It goes off. It's not worth a dollar anymore, you know, just for that event or something like that. So, I mean, one, would that be an advantage? And then I want to get into what you're doing day to day while you're up there in the Shire. So, you know, what do you think about the silver calculator, including copper and gold and other things, even for a temporary time?
I think especially for a temporary time, that sounds like a good idea. I know that the silver calculator app lists only the melt values of everything, even the dime cards. So if it listed the melt value of a copper round, it would say 24 cents, and that wouldn't be very compelling. But
no, yes, the temporary time, we'd say, no, it's worth whatever somebody's going to pay for it, and this guy's paying a dollar for it, so go over there and go get it. You know, we may do it.
Right,
you know,
and that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, you know, a Porkfest version. Heck, it'd be its own special, you know, download app just for Porkfest. I mean, you know, it's just code. You just copy it over, change the title of it, load it up on the thing, and it's just what's used at that event. I mean, that's a possibility, too. Hey, Zachary, think about it, man. So we're there's so many opportunities with this when we have the people with your kind of skills. I'm just going, there is no limit to what can be done. It could be just for a single day. It could be for a say you go to a gun show at some big giant whatever. You know, you're going in, hey, you know, this is a special for today. This is what this is worth today. That's where we got the idea anyway. It was a vendor at a gun show when we had the Freedom Summit in December of 10. There was a guy, we were partying that night at the Freedom Summit. It's Saturday night. All of a sudden, one of the guys comes, he goes, hey, man, I was just at the gun show. And they were taking silver for ammunition and giving a discount when you paid in silver. And we go, really? Silver for bullets, silver bullet, Lone Ranger. Where do silver bullets kill? Werewolves, morphing Bernanke onto werewolves, silver bullet trains in the Coors Light commercial. Get all aboard the Love Train is the music that they're doing. And we're morphing Ron Paul into, you know, Lone Ranger shooting werewolves. I mean, man, the whole campaign was done in a minute. And I'm going, because of one event to where they were doing that, and you could make a calculator for an individual event, set the prices of anything, and I know they're already thinking about working on this, is that you have a menu of things. You go to the baklava station, you say, hey, man, I want this, that, and so on. I look on my calculator, it tells me what it's going to cost. He has the menu right there for what it is in silver and copper. And what, so I can already see where this is going. They're working on this now, and one of the benefits, we've been talking about doing war nickels because they're 40% silver, and we need to have something that's like half the value of a dime. Well, then we get down to even less than that. We get down to the copper rounds. So I can see where this is going. And, you know, it's people like you that help blaze the trail, and then others like me and others that, you know, help make it happen. And all of a sudden, man, we're living in a free agorist society and agorist state of. So when you actually moved there, what was it that you were expecting, you know, and what did you realize? And then you taking on this project to be the agorist alchemist, when did anybody help you with that, or you just come up on your own? Were you surprised by its success? You know, tell me your experience of moving there and taking on this kind of activism.
Okay. Well, I moved here, and I didn't really know where the focal point of activism would be in the state, so I picked a town that was kind of centrally located to Concord, Manchester, and Keene. It's closest to Concord because I figured, well, that's the capital and that's where a lot of the activism is going to be. Actually, it turned out I was wrong. There isn't a whole lot that goes on there. Most of it is in Keene, and then there is now some starting to percolate up into Manchester. So that was a surprise to me, but a welcome surprise, actually. I am kind of disillusioned with the political system, as are a lot of people, I'm sure. It doesn't really seem to be the avenue that's going to give us the change that we need. And it doesn't have to be. I'm convinced that the solutions are in technology. It's going to enable the revolution that we need to have. And it's not going to be a violent revolution. It's going to be an intellectual revolution. People will just realize we don't need the government anymore because we have technology that that gives us the knowledge that we need in order for a free market to work. Maybe a free market hasn't always been possible because we needed protection from people who were trying to commit fraud. But we have the ability now, using the internet and using our smartphones, to just look up a person's reputation. So we don't need the government protecting us anymore.
Well, that was always the promise that government always made, is that they were there to protect us from bad guys. And when it gets to the point that whatever they were supposed to protect us from, they're the biggest violator of. You know, they are the ones doing the problem. In fact, we give them sanction, you know, under, you know, fear that, oh, please protect us from, and everything that they've created to supposedly protect us, they use against us. So they're not there. Like, Patriot Acts aren't there to protect us from terrorists. It's to protect the government from us. So I'm going, okay, right. Once this realization starts to ingrain, you know, all the other stuff just starts happening, like Matt showing up with this copper at Porkfest. So I'm going, okay, so the future is what? Older people are going to start realizing it, getting off, oh, I'm sorry, I slapped themselves in the forehead, I could have had a V8. Or are they just done and you just got to wait for the older generation to die off and generation next to replace them? I mean, what do you think you're going to be able to change people, or are you just going to breed them out?
I think it's going to be through attrition. There are going to be some older folks who see the light, but a lot of them were raised in a time, an era that government was seen as good, and so they're not going to change, and that, you know, that's fine. We'll just wait it out.
Of age,
it is liberty in your lifetime, after all.
Well, you came of age, let's see, you probably graduated high school in the early 2000s, I would imagine, right?
Right.
So this is, it's kind of a 9/11 thing. I mean, was that, you know, that have any kind of impact on you looking, putting your head up and going, what? I mean, you know, or just the stuff in the police state that came after that, or what? I mean, your time frame of you coming of age, you know, what was in your environment that gave you this kind of awareness?
I guess probably the debts, the national debts, and the wars that were going on, and the inflation that was beginning to take root, and of course the crash in the economy, the dot-com bust, and then I really noticed that, wait a second, this is all a house of cards.
Well, you think everybody just notices that? How did you notice? I mean, what, you know, there's not a whole lot of 18, 19, 21, 22-year-old people going, you know, this is unsustainable economic result of policies of blah, blah, blah. I mean, where'd that come from?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what predisposed me. I do know that in college I referred to myself as a liberal Republican because I didn't know what a libertarian was yet. And my roommate at the time told me, Matt, I think you should look up libertarian because I think that's what you are. And I looked it up on the internet, again, technology enabling us. And I said, yes, that's exactly what I am. And since then, I've probably become even less of a fan of the state, and I don't really think we need monopoly government at all.
Okay, this is a good question. As you're looking up the word libertarian, how much time did you spend on Libertarian Party?
A couple years. What really got me convinced that I was a libertarian was I read an essay by Neil Bortz, in which he professed all the ideas that I just knew in my gut to be correct. And so that's what convinced me. But yeah, I was
Have you graduated
a libertarian
from,
party.
Have you graduated from the Neil Bortz influence?
Yes, I would say I've graduated from it and am now more of a Stefan Molyneux follower.
There you go. You know, yeah, Neil, everybody's saying, oh, he's on. When I first started doing Radio No 3, I listened to this Neil 15 minutes, and I'm going, Are you kidding me? You're calling that libertarian? Nice try. You know, anyway, I guess he knew how to spell it. You know, the party, what was your big, you know, aversion to, was it politics in general? The Libertarian Party kind of was a dead end? I mean, what kind of influence did they have?
Well, I just don't think politics is going, I think it's basically, it's too late. It can't be saved at this point. The system is too far gone.
Well, I don't know if you know this.
We can't solve it from within.
In the 90s, there was a book called 101 Things to Do Till the Revolution, written by Claire Wolfe. And she had a famous phrase in there that was kind of a subtitle that said, we're at that awkward time in America to where it's too late to work within the system. It's just too early to start shooting the bastards. And I'm going, yep. We're in that time.
That's where we are.
So it's at, you know, how long that time is, I don't know. But I think if we live long enough, we're going to find out. And I think I might live long enough, and I'm 50. Matt Whitlock, thanks for coming on.
That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Thanks, man.